Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This month and every month throughout the year, discover Corona Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes. With a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango, cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spike sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, and 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer spikes sparkling water with natural flavors. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And welcome in to another quarantine episode of Purple Daily here. Mackie and Judd, Declan, COVID Declan is producing symptom-free now today for the symptom-free. First time in 5 days. So that's good.
Right.
And, were your symptoms really strong, Declan?
They really, like, from what I've been talking to with other friends who have had it and other people who have experienced it, I feel like I got off pretty lucky. Mm-hmm. Like on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I had a pretty bad fever and headache and body aches. But I never lost my sense of taste or smell. I thankfully always had that. I was like purposely eating spicy foods the first 3 days to like prove if I can taste and smell it. But outside of that, I mean, I've been feeling pretty good. NyQuil and DayQuil and tea and soup. So I'm looking forward to like more solid foods this weekend. That's going to be fun.
We're probably gonna do. Yeah.
And watching BYU and doing my own version of Courtney R. Draft Scout, but Declan R. Draft Scout. Right.
You know, I've heard that the quarterback is somebody that I should be looking into. I mean, he's basically like a light version of Jim McMahon with the Jordan headband. So yes. I am all for this guy. I think the Vikings should go ahead and just like lock it up right now.
That's great. Yeah. So Declan, and by the way, Courtney Cronin from ESPN.com, she covers the Vikings and joins us every Friday on Purple Daily. So we're going to dive into some trade speculation on this episode. We're going to dive into a huge win for the Vikings last night, even though they didn't even play. But yeah, so Declan's going to be taking a look at the All-22. And Declan, in case anyone had any questions, is not an experienced All-22 scout. That's not going to stop us from him unleashing takes. So if we've got Courtney R. Draft Scout. We're trying to think of Declan's name. Is it like Declan G. Draft Scout? Is it something else? We need some help with this.
I also have the R middle initial, Courtney. So
it's great. I mean, it's universal, honestly. I think anybody could really be a draft scout, as we found out from Twitter. That's absolutely accurate.
Absolutely. And Dex, you need to, in the next couple of days, get your hands on the Trey Lance game. There's one Trey Lance game.
Okay.
We need that one too.
Okay.
Because like I've got the top guys scouted myself. So sure. I really need you to take care of that second tier of guys that could pop up. And Trey Lance is definitely in that tier.
I'm gonna put on my headband, crack a couple Corona Hard Seltzers, and I'm gonna get into the tape, man. So that's the goal this weekend.
I love how on Twitter, so people who listened to yesterday's episode of Purple Daily are now with us, and we're just calling the BYU kid the BYU kid now. Like that's just his name. So he's just gonna have the BYU kid on the back of his jersey when he plays for the Vikings next year. Speaking of which, last night a huge win for the Minnesota Vikings. Even though they didn't play, with the Atlanta Falcons finally not blowing a lead and blowing a game in the fourth quarter, they pick up their second win of the season over Teddy Bridgewater's Carolina Panthers. And according to Tankathon.com, the Vikings have now moved up from sixth to fifth in the draft order. And they still have, on Tankathon.com, they still have Trey Lance going to the Vikings at five. And so a big win last night, everyone. Courtney, your thoughts on the Vikings' ability to keep climbing this tankathon ladder?
I honestly don't have a lot of faith in it, to be quite honest. I think they're going to be a 5-11 team, which I don't know if that's good enough for a top five draft pick. That to me screams more like 7, 8, or 9. And these are a lot of bad teams this year. Like really, there are a lot of bad teams in the NFL. Like Dallas is terrible. Atlanta is still terrible. Jacksonville is terrible. The list kind of goes on and on, but I have a feeling they're going to win some games that they absolutely should not. And this fan base is going to be irate because of it, because it's going to screw up their draft positioning. And, you know, especially like if they, you know, I know we're going to get into this, but like if they don't do anything at the deadline and get more draft capital to potentially move up if they had a chance to, and if they really were going to go after a quarterback, then I think that that's really going to set them back a little bit. And I just don't know that they could be, like I've said this all along, they're too talented to suck completely. Like, they're not Jets level of being terrible, but like they're in this purgatory spot where they have a lot of talent still on the roster, mostly on the offensive side, because everybody's hurt on defense, except for Eric Kendricks and Harrison Smith. But like they just, they're going to win some games that they probably shouldn't if they're thinking ahead to 2021. But publicly, they'll never tell you that they're thinking ahead to 2021.
This is the worst, Courtney, that I think I've ever seen this league as a whole. I mean, there's always been a lot of bad teams and a lot of bad games. And so I'm used to that. I don't think I remember a season, though, where we've had this many teams that are just awful, like not even competitive. And it's really, really weird because it's now what, probably 6 to 10 teams where you just say, you're just awful. You don't do anything, including the Vikings.
Yeah. And I think that they're obviously in that caliber right now. Will they stay there? Something tells me that there's going to be the prototypical Kirk Cousins game now that the pressure is really off, where he's going to go off for 343 yards and throw 3 touchdowns without the 3 interceptions that come along with it.
Right.
And he's going to have the Kirk Cousins stat lines that you see, great fantasy quarterback. But will that help them win games? Will they win a couple that they shouldn't? That might lead to that.
Yeah. So, all right, let's just dive into like trade speculation, what they can do, what they should do before this Tuesday. So we're all on the record on this show saying anything that makes sense should go. Like, even if it's just like trading Kyle Rudolph for a 6-round pick or something, anything that can go and should go should just be traded before Tuesday. There's a few borderline things like, well, Harrison Smith, you know, you're not just going to give him away.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen is one that's been thrown out there, and the Patriots just lost Julian Edelman. So I guess my question is, how much does Sunday's game impact what they might do before the Tuesday trade deadline? Or should they just be already decided on some of these players before Tuesday?
I think they probably have an idea. You know, certainly they're the ones who kicked everything off with Unique Ngakoue last week. And I love that move. Don't get me wrong. I think that was a terrific move. But then it's kind of been like, well, what now? And yeah, I think week 8, all these games and who gets injured and how, what happens for the Minnesota Vikings? Do they lose? Do they win? Et cetera, et cetera. You know, how that whole thing plays out is going to determine how active I think they're going to be at the trade deadline. But going into this weekend, I think it really boils down to, and I was just pulling up their salary cap for 2021 and trying to figure out kind of like where they're at, because right now they're like $5 million, I think, over the cap. Even though they're going to have some 2020 rollover, all of that, like it's still not a good situation. So you should be trying to remedy that, and you're going to be remedying it in the off season, but why not get some draft capital for it now? You know what I mean? Like sell high. So, I think that, you know, they should be going into this game still actively trying to unload Riley Reiff, Anthony Harris, Kyle Rudolph. You don't want Pat Elflein anyways, but somebody like who needs a guard might need him. So go ahead and try to get a conditional seventh round pick for him. I don't care. Do anything. The Thielen one's interesting. I think you're truly committing to a rebuild, like a longer rebuild by doing that. And you're also potentially giving Kirk Cousins a window to be like, well, we traded away one of his top options. Of course he didn't perform well. Then you're stuck with him. It's not like he had the chance to be like, you did that to him. Not like, oh, we gave him everything. He was terrible. We had no choice but to cut him and try to cut our losses and move on. But I think that they're at a point now where they can't be greedy going into the trade deadline. Like, you know, what did we hear throughout the offseason? The reason the Trent Williams deal fell through during the draft is because the Vikings wanted a certain draft pick. Washington wasn't going to budge on it. Same thing with Anthony Harris. Like, the Giants were interested in him. Price was too high. Cleveland was interested in him. Price was too high after they franchised him and wanted to trade him. Like, no more of that. Like, it's not, you can't, you know, beggars can't be choosers at this point. And I really do think that they should be active and just trying to unload veteran pieces that aren't going to be part of the makeup and the fabric of this team in 2021 to begin with.
Okay. So you just spewed common sense, which I love. I mean, I mean, what you said
all around, Judd,
what you said made sense, but somewhere in there in Rick's mind is I got to drive these deals and I'm going to make. So what is your, if you combine common sense with how the Vikings often think, where do you think they land on that? Because the Ngakoue trade, mm-hmm. I am with you completely. I loved it. It didn't work, and that's fine. Okay, mm-hmm. Cut bait there. But do you think that they are going to, before Tuesday, apply common sense to say what you just said, which is, and the one thing that I would say to Kirk is, if I traded Thielen or Kyle and Kirk came in and said, well, now, I mean, what am I going to do? I'd say, mm-hmm. Kirk, this is all your fault already, okay? So, like, you are to blame here. So don't give me that. You get no extra time. You get nothing. And if you get sacked because Cleveland whiffs on a guy, I don't care. But do you think that the Vikings will apply what you just said, and Rick mm-hmm. in particular, to make trades where you probably have to swallow hard and be like, I don't love that trade, but it gets me something?
If they have the support from ownership, like if those conversations that Spielman has, and he says he has a lot of them with ownership, keeping them in the loop on stuff. If those conversations are, hey, we get it. We're building towards the future because we were never really built for this year. I don't know if they honestly know that. I don't know if kind of where they stand on that, because to anybody who could evaluate this without purple colored glasses or purple lenses, whatever it is, like, you knew this year was going to be a step back. Like, it doesn't make any logical sense to think, oh, here's a slate of rookie corners. Like, cool, we're going to be great. Top 10 in defensive efficiency. Like, when you lose all these other pieces in the defense, like, you know, so if Spielman and Zimmer, and obviously these are, Rick has control of the roster. So if Spielman gets the vote of confidence from ownership that everything's going to be fine, go ahead and do what you have to do, then I could see them being active in that. But like, Judd, you're right. Like what does common sense tell you when Kirk is playing horribly and he throws three interceptions in the first half? It tells you need to bench him temporarily for that moment. Common sense doesn't prevail in that because someone's ass is on the line at that point. Someone's job could very well be in jeopardy because it's like admitting, holy crap, I screwed up. The reason we don't see common sense play out is because people don't want to admit, holy bleep, I screwed up. Like, we screwed up with this. I misjudged the roster. No one is going to do that, especially someone like Rick Spielman, I think, without the vote of confidence from ownership, because you don't last in an organization since 2006, since 2012 as a general manager, mm-hmm. without playing survivor at some point. And Rick is the survivorist of the survivors, the most surviving surviving person in the world. I'll come up with my own story. But like, you know, there's reason to show you that logic doesn't exist, because it's people trying to, they're really looking out for themselves and their own jobs. It's not about the health of the roster. Like, do not let anybody sell you on that. It's not.
And again, I'm gonna spew some common sense, and that if I own a football team, or if I own any business, really, I want my decision makers, I want my general manager, I want my coach, I want them to be able to admit that they are wrong sometimes. In fact, if they don't have the ability to say that, I whiffed on that one, or I could have done that differently, or I could have drafted somebody else. Like, if they don't have that bit of humility, then I would question their qualifications to begin with. But I think when it comes to the biggest elephant in the room, which is Kirk Cousins and the decision they have to make, because there's still a lot of guaranteed money on the table in 2021, 22. And one way to look at it is, well, there's a lot, and I know a lot of fans look at it this way too. Well, there's a lot of guaranteed money on the table, so you can't cut him. You can't do this. You can't bench him. It's like, and the way I look at it is, it's a sunk cost. Like, you've already guaranteed the money. If he's no longer the guy that makes sense to lead your franchise, then you have to make a tough decision and probably swallow a bunch of guaranteed money. My question to you, Courtney, is if they start to look at who they can trade before the trade deadline, and you look at what they've already done trading Yannick Ngakoue, mm-hmm. is there a chance that they've already come to terms with what we have come to terms with, that this is not the quarterback you want leading your team for the next 3 to 5 years, and they're already trying to clear out cap space strategically to have to swallow that pill.
I think that's a good way to think of it. And I'm sure that those conversations, like, I know we talk about common sense. You're never going to hear general managers, coaches, anybody who's in the public eye, decision-making people come out and like lament common sense, but clearly they know, like, there is not, I take what Rick said during his bi-week press conference, where I don't think anybody's lost faith in Kirk Cousins, and go the opposite of that. I've spoken to several people who saw that quote and kind of laughed at it, because that's just not, I mean, I understand what he's doing. What do you want him to say? Yeah, we screwed this crap up.
This guy's a total disaster.
Yeah, and like, what do you want him to say? Like, I get it, but like, Rick is not stupid. He's a general manager of a football team. Like, he knows that that is not the way that you play quarterback at a high level. But I also think that, you know, here's the thing. Cousins, to me, is the crux of all of this, is the crux of what they decide they want to do at the trade deadline, because let's say that he's got to be a part of the plan one way. He's obviously part of the plan one way or the other, but like, this can't be a rebuild of like, okay, well, we need to get rid of these pieces. We're going to continue to build around the quarterback. It kind of feels impossible. And they haven't fully built around Kirk. Like, they really haven't, because you don't go sign Sheldon Richardson the day after you sign Kirk Cousins when you barely have any cap space left and you still have a shoddy offensive line. You don't like sign Anthony Barr and restructure Everson Griffin and all these stuff, and you don't address the other side when you still need more offensive linemen in 2018 and 2019, the whole thing. Like, so at this point, it's kind of like they've shown that they don't really want or are not interested in building around Kirk Cousins because of how they've spent money elsewhere. Sure, people will say, oh, well, what about, you know, the extension for Kyle Rudolph or the extension for Dalvin Cook and Thielen and all these things? Yes and no. It hasn't completely added up yet. So it's like, you've got a decision to make, because you can't convince me that, okay, well, we know what we can do. We can move a couple pieces around. We can, you know, get rid of Riley Reiff. Cleveland will be fine. We draft him future left tackle, the whole thing, and expect that it's going to go differently this time. To me, it's either you realize that Kirk is not the guy and you cut him and you try to, like, really, that's ripping it down to the studs, but you still have some good players, because having all these good players like Eric Kendricks and Garrett Bradbury and Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, like, five guys right there who are going to be on the roster no matter what. Like, you don't have to start over from like ground zero. Like, the whole thing's been nuked and there's ash everywhere and you've got five players standing around. Like, the building's still half built. Like, it's just, I think you want to change course at that point as you go through a rebuild, because what's the process of rebuilding if you're not actually like rebuilding around the biggest part that's at fault?
And then I think, Courtney, the dilemma or the question that comes up if you're the Wilfs at that point too is, if you are going to tear it down and start again at quarterback, do you have the people in the front office and coaching staff in place that you trust to identify and cultivate and develop the next QB? Because that's the problem. The thing that concerns me most about Kirk, outside of Kirk himself and the philosophy of what they did with Kirk from day one, and I've always defended the initial contract, so it's not that, but what concerns me about Kirk is the fact that they were so negligent in identifying how much he would need line help, that's the one where if I'm the Wilfs, I look back and say, okay, so we paid all of this dough to bring this QB in, and his deficiencies had become obvious, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh my goodness, he's a rookie and we didn't see this coming. If I'm the Wilfs, I have real questions about how you basically paid this guy, put him in as your QB, who you probably told me was going to be a top five to top eight QB, and then didn't give him the O-line in front of him to protect him when that was probably among the most important things on the second to-do list once Kirk was signed. So if they're going to go in the direction that you're talking about, I really have questions about, do you trust this current executive staff, starting with Spielman, to identify that quarterback and then build this thing back up again correctly this time?
I think that that's a question that you have to ask yourself. And I don't really know like what the Wilfs like have been so sold on with Zimmer and with Spielman, especially recently. And it's like, you know, you got one playoff win on the road. Zimmer has two playoff wins his entire 7 years here in Minnesota. Like, that's probably a good metric, but like, do you think if you're going to start over, and especially if you're starting over at the quarterback position, I'm in 2020. I am in the age of the offense. I do not want a defensive coach anywhere near my quarterback. I'm sorry, not for my head coach. I want an Eric Bieniemy. I wanted a Kevin Stefanski, which they did. I would really hope that there would be a scenario this time around that when Jerry fires Mike McCarthy, Zimmer could potentially go there if I'm the Wilfs, because then it's not like, oh, you're having to fire somebody. Like, oh, he gets traded, blah, blah, like, right. You know, could do the whole thing. But I don't think it's to me, I think there needs to be fresh blood, like, you know, fresh ideas, fresh perspective, not running it back, trying to do it the exact same way, because you've been doing it for so long. And it's like, all you have to show for it are a couple playoff wins here or there. You got to the NFC championship game. And in a season that had a lot of luck, like a lot of this will come down to if the Wolves move on from Spielman and Zimmer and really in Cousins, that's them conceding, hey, we can't make 2017 happen. We tried and we failed with that.
Yeah. And I think that's a good place to leave this sort of cliffhanger here going into the Green Bay game and then into the trade deadline. And I agree. I think taking a fresh look at your most important pillars, starting with quarterback and head coach, and then potentially general manager. The one thing I would advise against is blowing up all three of those at the same time, because that's something that I think train wreck franchises do. So even if you don't love Spielman or love Zimmer, I would get rid of the quarterback for sure, but I think blowing up all three, there's a huge gamble that you might completely whiff on one of those two hires.
I will say this. Yeah. I think we have entered the rare air and territory where if I'm the Wilfs on Kirk, I step in. He doesn't step. They don't step in much. Like I think that they trust Rick and Mike. And I think as far as businesses goes, that's the right call. Mm-hmm. But if I am the Wilfs, I think this is one where I say, look, guys, the eye test, okay? Like, I've seen this. We've seen this enough. I think they at least have to involve themselves in the conversation here, because if you really, you know, go the pride route and be like, oh, Kirk is going to be fine in 21, you just don't know, I would say no. I would say absolutely not. I own this bleeping team. We got to do something different. I really would.
I agree with you, Judd.
And that's rare.
They've got to take the temperature of this whole situation in a more aggressive way than they've done before, and just kind of realize, hey, it didn't work with these people. Let's stop trying to make fetch happen. Like, it's just not going to happen at this point.
I love that.
It drives me nuts, because it's like, okay, well, square peg and here's the round hole. How about you turn it this way? Like, no, like, we've been doing that for so long. Like, just realize, like, I whoever said, I think Phil, it was you talking about humility. Like, you want that. And obviously people don't kind of adhere to humility, and they buy into their own hubris, because it's costly to admit to your own mistakes. It is costly to say, hey, we screwed up. We misjudged this. Kirk is not the right guy. And all the bloviating that you want to do, that you extended him because it helps your cap situation. Well, the money you took and spent with that right away was on a safety who's not going to be on your roster next year. And you got cute and thought he was not going to be on your roster this year. So, I mean, those are the type of moves. Like, I hope the Wilfs realize that. Like, I hope that they can, like, be smart enough to look at that and be like, maybe we were told something that didn't add up here. Like, wait a second. Like,
yeah,
you guys are the money train. Pull the strings that you need to, but, like, realize that the lines that you might be being fed right now might not be accurate. Like, might be people trying to save their jobs. And that's what you do if you are with a franchise for as long as both of them have been with this franchise. Like, they're going to certainly try to do things that are going to help them win. Why wouldn't you? But survival in my job at the end of the day, unless you want to go and hand your resignation paper in, like, that's what they're doing.
Yep. And the drama will continue into next week. And we'll be keeping an eye on it every day here on Purple Daily. That's Courtney Cronin from ESPN.com. Mackie and Judd, you can also find Vikings Vent Line right after the Vikings-Packers game is over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast. And if you want to join the show, Declan is the wizard producer behind the scenes, and he will be the gatekeeper for your Vikings takes with this email address, VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. and we can get you into the video. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Purple Daily listeners, Purple Daily business owners, Federated is here to help you. Federated just wants to say thanks to all local businesses in and around the state of Minnesota. You are our community partners, our neighbors, our families, and our friends. And when you need Federated, Federated is here to help. Visit federatedinsurance.com or call your local marketing representative to access trusted resources you may need during this pandemic. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours.